So this woman looked at her child who stayed up until 12 o'clock at night playing with the computer, and when the Fajr time comes, she does not wake him up because she feels sorry and pity for that child. Look at him. Look how he's sleeping. He's tired. Don't wake him up for Fajr. Even though she is commanded to wake him up for it if he does not pray. This is the type of pity that will make the children sleep over and don't wake up to prayer. But she is responsible for the household and for the children, and she's going to be asked about her responsibility. Also, the Prophet ﷺ went on to say, and the slave is responsible for the wealth of his master. He's responsible for the duty that you are assigned to him. He cannot spoil the wealth of his master because it's the wealth of his master. Also, we are responsible in the working environment for the wealth of our employer. Because some people retaliate from their employers by ruining the properties of their employers. It takes a lot of money. So let's break this, let's break that. They make a lot of money. So what is it to you if they make a lot of money? You are getting paid for what you do, and you have to be responsible for the wealth of your employer. So you see how this hadith, wallah, if we have only this hadith from every the sunnah, if only this hadith we have, and the Muslim apply it, the Muslim society will work like a flock. Everybody is responsible and everybody takes care of their responsibility. But we find the Muslims, as we said in one khutbah in Arabic, all of them going a very dangerous party. A party that has branches all over the Muslim world. In every university, in every college, in every association, in every masjid, this party is present. And this is the party of Mishtihala. You know what Mishti Halak means? Mishti Halak is a slang. You know, this is good. No matter how it is, good, bad, correct, incorrect, whatever the case may be, just, you know, rig it for you to get by. Let it slide. Smooth it. And this is how people act. Put it halfway, rig it up until you make it through, and then it disappears, it falls apart, no matter what happens to it, don't you? And that's true. You find something that is produced in Muslim products, whatever the case may be. Most likely, those products you use it for a short period of time and try to fall apart on it. Where is the itqan in doing the thing? But everybody is joining the party of Mishtihala. Make sure you don't join this party. Join the party of an itqan. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يحب أحدكم إذا عمل عملا أن يتقنه. Allah loves of all of you if you do a certain deed to do it with perfection. Whether you are praying, fasting, making hajj, making umrah, making jihad, or whether you are writing, whatever you are trying to do, try to do the best job you can do. tried to do a fine job. So if the Muslims apply only this hadith by doing what they are supposed to do and taking care of their own responsibility, we're going to see the Muslims' standards improve drastically. Can you imagine if every mother after her children and every father after his household and every employee doing his job correctly, and every leader is taking care of his community, you're going to find order, nizam, akhlaq, mahabba. But what we find is the wife lies to her husband, and the husband lies to his wife, and both of them lie to the children, and the children lie to the parents, and the employer lies to the employee, and the employee lies to the employer, and the government lies to the people, and the people lie to the government. And everybody is lying to everybody. And everybody doing the party of Mashihada. So this is an example of the hadith which is sahih. The hadith that are sahih comes with a chain of narration, and we're going to mention to you the most authentic chain of narration. The first one is Al-Zuhri an Salim an Abi. Has three people. Al-Zuhri. Al-Zuhri. His name is Al-Zuhri. I'm sure you've heard his name. An Salim. Salim is the son of Ibn Umar. An Abi, who is Abdullah ibn Umar. So this is how the three people in the chain of narration. Also Malik an Nafi' an Ibn Umar. Malik. Imam Malik. An Nafi' عن ابن عمر نافع. Also three people involved in this chain of narration before it was documented in the book. Two different chains. Another chain which is one of the most authentic chain of narration. الأعمش عن إبراهيم عن علقمة عن ابن مسعود.
علقمة.
This is a great chain of narration. That's one of those. They call it Malik عن نافع عن ابن عمر. They call it the golden chain. السلسلة الذهبية. الذهبية. The golden chain. Then it says the above conditions add up to five. Seeking knowledge is a constant strife. The above conditions that we have mentioned add up to five. Meaning there are five conditions that have to be met for the sahih to be, for the hadith, for the report to be classified under the sahih classification. When I say to you, seeking knowledge is a constant strife. For us to seek knowledge is not something we do part time for 2 years and drop it off. If seeking knowledge is a strife that stays with us from the time we are can receive information until the time we die. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in al-hadith, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is a duty upon every Muslim. Not female, male, old, not every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is a duty upon every Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and keep us on the path of peace and knowledge. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And if you have any questions, inshallah, we answer the questions at the present time.
Question was Al-Zuhri عن Thari ibn Umar عن Abi.
نعم.
Second was Malik عن Nafi عن Abi Umar.
نعم.
And third was أعمش.
الأعمش.
الأعمش. عن إبراهيم عن علقمة عن ابن مسعود.
كيف من علقمة؟
أجل عن لام راف من إبراهيم.
هذا first, the last one in person, he said Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, Al-Zuhri and Sahari.
Salim. Al-Zuhri. عن Salim.
Salim.
عن Abib. Abib is his father. Who is the father of Salim? Abu Lahab ibn Umar.
So Al-Zuhri and Salim and
عن أبي، but I wanted to know who is أبي.
هو الصحابي.
لا سالم. اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We have talked last time about the five conditions that have to be met for a report to be classified as sahih. This condition is stated here in the form of sahih is the first condition. It has a connected chain of narration. This is the first condition. Reported by al-adl, al-dhabit, respectively. This is the second condition. Also must be illa and shuzud free. So those are five conditions. The above conditions add up to five. Seeking knowledge is a constant right. Seeking knowledge, we talked about the importance of seeking knowledge last time we were here. I am going to talk more about the importance of seeking knowledge and why it is a constant strive for the believer. The more we go on in our life and the more we grow, the more we experience things, the more we come in contact with things, the more knowledge we need to have to enlighten ourselves in regard to how we deal with our situation. An example of that is a person who gets married, he needs to have more knowledge pertaining to his marriage and what is the laws of Islam in respect to marriage life, and how Islam is teaching us to deal with the wife, and how Islam is teaching the wife to deal with the husband, and how it should be the life taking place and unfolding. We find and we hear in many situations when there will be, you know, problem between the husband and the wife, and the wife will go on and say something, and then after everything cools off, she says, "I only go back to aggravate the husband." That's the only purpose. I've heard of a story when a man had a fight with his wife. He was saying something to her, she was saying something back to him. At the end, she wants to give him the knockout. So it's a battle. They have one doctor. She says to him, do you think this is your doctor? He's from another man. The man has broke right on the spot. And she was not saying the truth. She knew that that was his daughter. But she said what she said only becomes the champ of that marriage fight. We need to know things pertaining to our life, how Islam is teaching us to deal with one another. Some of the wisdom that is said to the wife, be a slave to your husband and your husband will be a servant to you. Be a slave to your husband and the husband will be a servant to you. Also, I heard another story where a woman came to a sheikh. And you know, some of the sheikhs, they are known to practice some kind of illegal, impermissible incantation when they write things and they make like a spell. And she came to that sheikh and she wants a spell for her husband to like her. For her husband to like her. So the sheikh was a smart person. He told her, for me to do a spell for you, go and get me 5 hairs from the monkey's eyebrow. 5 hairs from the monkey's eyebrow. This is a weird request. So she went to the monkey keeper in the zoo and she told him, I want 5 hairs from the monkey's eyebrow. The monkey keeper, oh, how can I get you 5 hairs from the monkey's eyebrow? This is the monkey, don't deal with it yourself. So she went, she sat with the monkey, was feeding the monkey, coaxing the monkey, babying the monkey, all the way until he was able to get 5 hairs from his eyebrow. She came back to the sheikh. And she told him, here, I got you 5 hairs from the monkey's eyebrow. So the sheikh told her back, if you were able to coax a monkey and tolerate the stinking smell of a monkey, and to baby a monkey, to get 5 hairs off his eyebrow, I'm sure you can be nice and gentle and baby your husband as if he is nice to you. So Islam is teaching us things that is pertaining to our life as we are unfolding and growing. When we have our businesses, when we go and we are employer, or we are employee, if we have more money than what we have before, how are we going to deal with our money? How are we going to pay the tax of our money? There's a tax, not the tax. There's a tax of our money. And many other things that we need to know. Therefore, knowledge is a constant strive. Always we have to have knowledge to live. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is a duty upon every Muslim. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Some people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them, they take a very dangerous approach to life. And they say, we don't want to know. Thinking if they don't know, Allah will not going to question them in regards to things that they don't know. I'm not going to study anything, nor I'm going to read anything, because when I read something, it's going to be against me. If I study something, it's going to be against me. So I'm going to live in the darkness. I don't know. And in the day of judgment, I will just say, I don't know. Some people take this approach, purposely keeping themselves in the darkness. So much so, that if somebody goes to one of those individuals who take this approach to life, and you educate one of them regarding a certain issue of their religion, you get mad at you. Why? Why did you do this to me? Why did you teach me this? I was happy doing what I was doing, and my ignorance and everything is fine. Now you come and you tell me I have to do that, and you mess everything up. See what you've done? This is how they live. This is the approach that they take to life. Why do you say this is a very dangerous approach? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we say to the people, مَاذَا أَجَبْتُمْ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. What was your answer to the messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, what was our answer to the messenger? Our answer is not something just we answer by our lips. Also we answer by our actions. If somebody calls you, brother, I'm not going to answer you. This is not answering by the lips. But if somebody calls upon you, say, brother, yours, you go to him. This is answering, you show him off. So, even though you did not say anything. So how we answer the messenger? By our lips and by our practices. Our practices of Islam is our answer to the messenger. The messengers came to us, legislated for us rules and regulations and things to do and things not to do and things which are better than other things. How we answer to that? Our answer is our implementation or the lack of. Our answer is our implementation of the teaching or the lack of this implementation. And ignorance or lack of knowledge is not an excuse. It's not an excuse to say, I don't know. Except in certain circumstances when a person is genuine in his statement that I don't know. Genuine. And in many situations we come into some circumstances where we really did not know that this is what we should have done. And had we known otherwise, we would have done it otherwise. This is the meaning where Allah, when we say in the Quran, Allah has revealed this ayah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. This is what ayah? The last ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. The last two ayahs in Surah Al-Baqarah, they are treasures that were given to us. We say, O our Lord, do not hold us responsible if we forget or if we make mistakes. Allah answered and said, yes. But in other situations, when we play dumb, and we pretend that we don't know, we're going to be held responsible for that, for playing dumb. Because in the hadith says, لَا تَتُولَا قَدَمَا عَبْ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهُ وَعَنْ جَسَدِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَاهُ. A person will not leave his position where he is going to be questioned until he was going to be questioned about his life and how he exhausted life. How did we exhaust the life slave of Allah? Doing what? The 50, 40, 70, 80 years that you were on top of the earth. How did you exhaust your life? Because we have two stages. Over earth and under earth. Or did we deteriorate our body, drinking alcohol, smoking dope, washing nakedness, listening to music? We're going to be questioned. Part of our body is the mind, the brain. Is that a part of our body? We're going to be asked, how did we crank it? In what position did we utilize our minds and intelligence? To know every little way to make money, to discover every place that has some amusement in it, even if it was in China. You would be amazed. Wallahi, one time you talk to people, they can list to you worldwide places of corruption. In Taiwan, in this area, there's a place to sell dope. And in this place, somewhere else, they will tell you something else. But they cannot list for you the most three major messages in Islam. So they're not using their mind for something that's of benefit to them, and they're going to be questioned about it. We're going to be questioned how we are using our mind. So if you have the intellect, if the people have the intellect to know the computer, to know how to utilize the internet, to know how to build a house, to know how to drive a car, they should also have the intellect to know what is permissible and what is not. And if it was their own choice to suspend their mind from seeking knowledge, they're going to be responsible for it. Because their ignorance was their own choice. Just like the Christian. What do we say when we are reading Fatiha? اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Who are the ضالين? The Christians. المغضوب عليهم the Jews. The curse. The ones who Allah put His wrath over them are the Jews. But the Christians are of Dalim, because they themselves, they choose for themselves to be ignorant. They did not open their mind to see the truth. They played dumb. But the Jews, they knew the truth, but they cover it up. Therefore, they are المغضوب عليه. But the other, the Adami, similarly, a person who had the mind, had the brain power to know the truth, yet he chose for himself not to know the truth and thinking his lack of knowledge will protect him on the day of judgment, he is practicing Makr. Makr. Do you know what Makr? With Allah, in Tawheed, blindness. They try to practice blindness with Allah. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They try to trick Allah, but Allah is the best of trickers. He will be tricking them. So this is why we say in this poem, taking knowledge is a constant trial. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Imran, قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. Say my Lord, my Lord legislated that the lewd actions are prohibited. Those who are done in public and those who are done in secret. Every lewd practice is haram. والإثم والبغي بغير الحق. And sinful practice and oppression. And to associate with Allah Fatiha. And to associate with Allah Fatiha. And to say about your Lord that which you do not know. Those things are haram. Not only in the final religion, the way it's finalized, but those things are haram across the board. Since the time of Adam, even though the code of law changed from the one community, from one era to another era, but those things are haram all the time. So never during the history of mankind, fornication was made permissible. Never taking other people's property unjustly was made permissible. Never shirk was made permissible. Those are halal across the board throughout the history of humanity. Never speaking about Allah that what we don't know was made permissible to anyone. So if those things are halal across the board, that means every person is responsible to know those things. Every person is responsible to stay away from shirk, from polytheism, because shirk has made haram all the time. So those people who practice shirk and just they follow their communities and their forefathers in practicing the shirk that they do, that is not something they should follow blindfolded. They should question themselves. Is that something, is it common sense to go and ask the person who is buried in the ground? You should ask, is that something we should do? What we find people for, the most part, they do things without considering the legitimacy of what they do. Therefore we say seeking knowledge is a constant trial for me, for you, for everyone. Never we should come at a point and we say enough, we can get by. Seeking knowledge is something that has to stay with us until the time we got. Having said that, we come back to the hadith. It says, Al-Hasan is the second class of hadith. Take its definition, my friends, with ease. It meets all the sahih conditions, but its reporters possess less precision. The second classification of hadith is that which is classified as hasan. The hadith that is classified as hasan has the same condition as the sahih condition. With one difference, that one of the reporters who is involved in reporting this account does not have the same level of precision that will enable him to be classified in the category of the most precise reporter. Therefore, that which he narrates is classified in the Hassan category. But that does not mean that which is classified in the Hassan category is not acceptable at all. This is acceptable. And something that we utilize to prove matters in our religion. But for things to be clear for us, since this reporter was noticed and observed that his memorization still does not enable him to be in the first class of reporters, thus he comes in the second class of reporters. If he is involved in reporting a report, we classify that report consequently in the Hassan category. So now we have two classifications of hadith, Sahih and Hassan. There are two more classifications that we're going to talk about. Sahih لغيره وحسن لغيره. Sahih لغيره, it means correct due to others. Correct due to others. The hadith, the report which is classified as Sahih لغيره is a hadith that was transmitted to us via various chain of narration. Each chain meets the conditions of Al-Hasan. Thus collectively the account reach the level of a Sahih. Therefore we call it Sahih due to others. An example of that. It was reported that Muhammad bin Amr bin Alqama عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة. Now we have three reporters. Muhammad bin Amr bin Alqama according to أبي سلمة, according to أبي هريرة. That the messenger of Allah came, صلى الله عليه وسلم. If it wasn't that, it would have been a difficulty for my nation, my command to them would be for them to utilize and to utilize themselves every time they pray. This hadith was narrated, was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his book of Sunnah. Ibn Salah, one of the chief scholars of hadith, says, Muhammad bin Amr is a righteous person. However, he was not from the people of perfection in his reporting. So this hadith is classified under the Hassan. And that we're going to talk about Al-Hasan due to others. We start about Al-Sahih due to others. We're going to talk about Al-Hasan due to others. What is Al-Hasan due to others? It's the hadith or the report that was transmitted via chain of narration. Each chain has slight weakness in it, but collectively reach the level of Hasan. Thus, it's called Hassan due to others. An example of that, which was narrated by At-Tirmidhi, which was narrated that Shu'bah bin Asim according to Ubaydullah an Abdullah, Ubaydullah an Abdullah bin Amir bin Rabi'a an Abihi, anna imra'a min bani Fazara tazawwajat ala na'alayh. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رضيت من نفسك ومالك بن علين؟ قالت نعم فأجاز. This hadith was narrated, we gave you the chain of narration already, that a woman from the tribe of Hazara, she married, and her dowry was a pair of shoes. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, are you pleased for yourself with this dower? She said yes, yes. Then he approved that contract. It was said here, one of the reporters of this hadith, his name is Asim, he is weak. His justification as a reporter is weak. Because he, why is he weak? Because his memorization skill does not reach the level or Hassan. But this hadith was reported via various chain of narration. Thus, it reaches collectively the level of Hassan. What we mean by saying various chain of narration, every chain of narration also is weak. But all of those weak chain of narration collectively, when we put them all together, it will estimate the status of that final account to be in the classification of Hassan. And that only takes place when the weakness in the chain of narration is due to the fact that one of the reporters does not have full memorization skill. Why I say that to you? Because imagine we have a hadith and we consider this hadith to be weak for the fact that one of the reporters is accused of lying. Even if he has the best memorization skill, but he is accused of lying. Even if this hadith comes in a million chain of narration and each one of them it has a person who is accused of lying, the hadith stays weak, does not move up to a higher level. Having said that, we stop at this point, inshaAllah. If you have any questions, we answer your questions. وهذا صلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
No knowledge reference to the religion. Reference to the religion. This is the knowledge that will make us live right and die right. There is the personal knowledge, the only thing that can do for us to improve our lifestyle and to improve our standards of living. But if this knowledge is not coupled with righteousness, it could be used against our own standards of living. So we'll always be talk about knowledge and talk about the knowledge of the religion, because through this knowledge we can distinguish from things that are haram and things that are halal, things that we should do and things that we should not do. The other secular fact of knowledge is supportive knowledge to our existence. So we take of it that which will support our journey until we reach our conclusion.
What would be a recommendation for you as far as the book? How would it be improved? How would it be?
Yes, that is a very good question.
So for a new Muslim who comes into Islam, or a new Muslim, an old Muslim who comes into the practice of Islam, the best way to achieve knowledge should start by developing his knowledge as far as monotheism, as far as the knowledge pertaining to Tawheed. And he can do that by reading books on this subject and looking to explanation on this subject. As far as books, I know that there is a book is out by Bilal Phillips. It's called, I forgot the title of that book, by Bilal Phillips. This is a very good book on this subject. Also, yes.
Fundamental
of Tawheed. Also, as far as the same subject, there is the translation of the book of Al-Tawheed by Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. Alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, I was able to explain this myself, this book and series of cases. So I recommend the people to listen to those cases because they give detailed explanation on Tawheed. So we start with Tawheed. Secondly, we ask the person to read the translated version of the book of Hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And preferably starting by Sahih Muslim because it's easier to follow than Sahih al-Bukhari. Read the Hadith. Let him start reading the Hadith that come describing about paradise, the hellfire, the trial of the Prophet of Allah, the battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam undertook. All of those things will build in that individual a connection to the persecution and what happened in the development of the religion. Also, we recommend to the student of knowledge to read a book that are written by known scholars of Islam, translated books that are written by known scholars of Islam, or original works that are in English, and to stay away from the so-called the moderate views of Islam. So those moderate views of Islam, they explain the religion different than how it was understood and explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they divide the religion. In many cases, they say the religion is, you know, a creed and a code. And they start by making this definition that is a pavement to blow up the entire religion. So everything would be appeal. So don't worry about that, it's appeal. Don't worry about that, it's appeal. This is not important. And so on, they will let the people stay away from the sunnah. But for a person to start with effort, let him choose the appropriate teacher. Also, if a person can read books that are written about the life and the stories of the companions. I know there are nice books that are written about the subject. Those are very good books to enhance the person's spirituality. Also, if there is a possibility, I don't know if there is such anything, the life of the Prophet, the story of the Prophet. Because in knowing the stories of the Prophet and the struggle that they undertook in saving their community, we will be able to understand Al-Quran. Because a lot of the Quran tell us what has going on with the Prophet and the messengers and their respective communities. Yeah. Ibn Shafir, yes. So all of those things we introduce to the students of knowledge to read, inshallah. And there's many other books. There was a book that he was reading called As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, is a very nice book to read. Also, there's another book by Bilal Phillips called The Evolution of Fiqh in Islam. It's a very nice book.
there's a book called Al-Rahiq al-Maktoom. The huge lecture about the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of those are, you know, introduction and things that will enlighten the new student of knowledge. But in our time, if a person cannot locate a shaykh and sit with him face to face, the best second approach is to find advocate of that person, because the word, the spoken word, conveys more meaning than the written word. If we depend on reading, we might miss some of the intended meaning. But most likely, when we hear the verbal explanation and then we support that by reading on our own, that would solidify our knowledge. Therefore, you can listen to the person can listen to a series of things. Whether it's okay, the articles of Iman, and there's many other things that are available in the bookstore on series of subjects in our religion. Having said that, alhamdulillah, we conclude the session. Wa jazakumullahu khairan.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اتبعوه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Are you ready for the discussion? Are you ready for the discussion? So we don't waste time. Are you ready for the discussion? Are you ready for the discussion of last time?
Not yet.
So we're going to skip the discussion session of our class and move on to new material, with the understanding that next time we need to have to be responsible for the discussion of this session and the previous session. And we have to be ready. We have divided the hadith last time for the report into Sahih, and we talked about the conditions of the Sahih reporting, and we talked about the conditions of Al-Hasan reporting. An example of Al-Hasan reporting is what was narrated by At-Tirmidhi, that it was said, حَدَّثَنَا قُتَيْبَ حَدَّثَنَا جَعْفَرْ بن سليمان الضبعي عن أبي عمران الجوني عن أبي بكر بن موسى الأشعري قال سمعت أبي بحضرة العدو يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أبواب الجنة تحت ظلال السيوف. Ja'far bin Sulaiman al-Dubai, he is classified as a reporter who falls into the category of the Hassan reporter, which means he does not attain the precision that qualifies him to be in one of the highest level reports. Thus, any report or any chain of narration in which him or somebody in his class is present, that will make this report fall into the Hassan category. And we talked about last time about two subcategories, which are al-Sahih due to others and al-Hasan due to others. And we gave examples for each. Then the poem says, many factors make a hadith ضعيف.
For it, sunnah followers don't grieve.
If a report that does not meet the conditions to be hasan, nor it meets the conditions to be sahih, then it falls into the ضعيف category.
We have mentioned previously, there has must, five conditions must be met for the report to be in the hasan category or to be in the sahih category. One of those conditions, when one of those conditions is not met, that makes this report fall into the ضعيف category. This is why we said many factors make a hadith ضعيف. And we're going to talk about those factors in detail. For it, meaning for the ضعيف as a report, sunnah followers don't agree. Which means, if there is a report that is classified as weak, as ضعيف, you do not have to grieve for it. Don't think that you are missing something of the sunnah. Because the mere fact that this report is ضعيف means this hadith is not of the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we do not utilize it, the scholars of Islam do not utilize it in bringing evidence, in supporting an argument, or in affirming a religious proof. However, some scholars of Islam, they utilize the weak report in order to encourage virtuous practices in fada'il al-a'mal, virtuous practices. However, they establish three conditions that must be met to utilize or to use a weak report in order to encourage virtuous practices. The first condition, that this report must not be extremely weak. The second condition, there must be an authentic narration or an authentic evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that supports the generality under which this virtuous action falls under. Thirdly, a person who does so must believe that it is not an authentic hadith or an authentic practice, or no, ignore that last one. And when the hadith is narrated, it should be narrated in a way that shows the fact that this hadith is not authentic. So if we have a hadith that is extremely weak, we cannot utilize it in virtuous action, in virtuous deeds. But we have a hadith that in of itself is weak, but does not classify under anything that has been established in a religion. So we should not utilize it. But if we have a hadith that is slightly weak, and this hadith, for example, talks about the virtue of fasting, then those scholars say you can utilize it, because fasting in of itself is something that is been demonstrated and approved to be a virtuous action in our religion. So the weak hadith is not used to affirm something by itself, but it's utilized to encourage something that is already been established in our vision. Thirdly, when a person utilizes this 14, must narrate it to the audience in a way that shows or gives to understand that this hadith is not a sunnah. For example, in Arabic they say ruwiya. Ruwiya. Ruwiya, it means it was narrated in a passive sense. That we know that this hadith is not a sunnah. And you say, Rumiyah.